Jeremiah 29, verse 11 is probably familiar to you. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." You see that verse on social media, on all kinds of home decor, and even on clothing. Usually, it's given as a standalone promise. But the context shows us that God's thoughts of peace toward Israel were based on them seeking Him with all their heart. So remember, if you want to claim the promise of Jeremiah 29:11, you can't separate it from the condition of verse 12. And that condition is seeking God with all your heart.
I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. I'm glad we can be together in this way. Virtual meetings have kind of become the new normal for the past month, haven't they? I do prefer face-to-face communication, but this is better than no communication at all. Amen? My opening comments touched on Jeremiah 29:11. We'll talk some more about that on today's program in the context of Daniel chapter 9. So I hope you can stay with me. Right now, let's worship with the men as they sing.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise.
Unresting,
unhasty,
and silent as light,
nor wanting,
nor wasting,
thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all they
Gracious God, merciful Heavenly Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you that as your children, though you are personally invisible to us, your precious Holy Spirit lives in us and enables us to be partakers of your divine nature. We confess that's a reality much too big for us to grasp with our intellect. And so we stand in awe of your goodness to us. And now, Father, I pray for myself and for my friend who is listening. I pray that we will clearly hear your voice as we study the scriptures together. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In August of 2019, several of us from Heralds of Hope attended a media ministries conference that was hosted by Transworld Radio at their headquarters in Cary, North Carolina. It was a refreshing and an encouraging time, hearing about what God is doing through our media partnership with Transworld Radio. While we were there, one of the workshops that was offered during the conference was titled Prayer as Strategy, and I attended that workshop. I was challenged and convicted by the presentation. You know, so often when we make plans, we plan a strategy for reaching a goal, whether it's in business or in ministry or even in the church. And we follow the adage, plan your work, and then work your plan. And that's not necessarily wrong, but too often we make the plans and then we ask God to bless them. If the plans succeed, we take the credit. If the plans fail, we blame God. Now, the workshop leader presented the idea of making prayer our strategy, and he highlighted several steps to help us implement the strategy. The first step was delight in God. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And then verse 23 of that same psalm says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. God is worthy to be desired, worthy to be sought after. But in order to do that, we need to slow down. You know, that's one benefit of the coronavirus. It has slowed most of us down, hasn't it? We need to take time to listen to God in a quiet place, to be still and know that he is God. That's Psalm 46:10. And the leader of the workshop reminded us that ministry is the overflow of intimacy. Did you catch that? Ministry is the overflow of intimacy. Now, another important step in prayer as strategy is to listen. You know, so often we're busy doing, so busy that we don't take time to listen. What's God saying about a specific opportunity through his word and by his spirit? What counsel do other people have to offer? The workshop leader pointed out to us that ministry is received rather than achieved. And then the final step was to lead. The promise of Psalm 34:7 is that if we delight in God, he will direct our paths. He will show us how to lead. But too often, we embrace human strategies rather than seeking God and his plans and his strategies. And then one of the final convicting thoughts that was presented was this one. Prayerlessness indicates independence. I find myself there too often. And conversely, prayerfulness indicates dependence. I share those thoughts with you today as part of an introduction to Daniel chapter 9. Chapter 9 is sometimes referred to as Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks. But more than half of this chapter is a record of Daniel's prayer. Now, we already know from chapter 7 that Daniel's prayer life was an important part of his relationship with God. His commitment to God in prayer caused him to be thrown into the lion's den. And here again, prayer surfaces as an integral part of Daniel's spiritual life and practice. Now, as we read this prayer, Daniel's understanding of God's character and his understanding of the sins of God's people becomes quickly apparent. I've titled this teaching, The Prayer of the Penitent. Now let me read that text, Daniel chapter 9 and verses 1 to 19. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God, to make request by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God, and made confession, and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him, and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers, and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law, and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Let's begin our study with a brief look at verses 1 and 2, because they provide the setting for Daniel's prayer. Daniel states the time as being in the first year of Darius the Mede. You might recall that Daniel chapter 5 ends with the death of Belshazzar and the ascension of Darius to the throne. So that's where this chapter, chapter 9, fits in chronologically. Now, according to verse 2, Jeremiah's prophecies, the scrolls that he had written on, had made their way to Babylon, and evidently Daniel had access to them. So the date for chapter 9 is approximately 538 BC, about 67 years after Daniel's deportation to Babylon. By reading Jeremiah's prophecies, Daniel was able to determine that the 70 years of captivity and the desolations of Jerusalem were just about at their end. One of those specific prophecies is in Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will come to pass, when 70 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity. Daniel read Jeremiah's words, and he took them literally. He expected God to fulfill his promise. He also understood that God's promise would be realized through prayer. He embraced the need for confession of sin and repentance as a prelude to restoration. These first 19 verses from Daniel chapter 9 reveal the steps of action that will characterize the prayer of the penitent. And these steps apply in Daniel's situation, and they apply to us today, too. The first step in the prayer of the penitent is seek God's face. Daniel has read Jeremiah's prophecies, and he understands the captivity is nearing its end. And what's his response? Verse 3 says, Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. So why did Daniel think it was necessary to pray? Listen to Jeremiah 29:10-14. For thus says the Lord, After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Incidentally, verse 11 is probably familiar to you. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You see that verse posted on social media, on some home decor, and even on clothing. But you know, usually it's wrenched out of its context as a standalone promise. But the context shows us that God's thoughts of peace toward Israel were based on them seeking him with all their heart. So just remember, if you want to claim the promise of verse 11, you can't separate it from the condition of verse 12, which is seeking God with all your heart. As Daniel is meditating on Jeremiah's prophecy, he sets his face to seek the Lord. That's another way of saying that he was giving God his undivided attention. Remember the blessing of Aaron in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Setting one's face shows attentiveness. Now, in order to give his undivided attention to God, Daniel begins by eliminating distractions. In this, he demonstrates his faith, his devotion, and his worship. He's actively seeking an answer to his prayers. So he engages in fasting, the denial of bodily needs. And he puts on rough sackcloth, the denial of bodily comforts. And then finally, he puts ashes on his head. That was a traditional sign of grief and humility and mourning. Many of us in North America would find these steps very difficult. Most of us are so accustomed to living in comfort that we can hardly deny ourselves anything. And then we wonder why our prayers often seem so powerless. Now we know God hears the shortest of prayers, like Nehemiah's prayer that he prayed before King Artaxerxes when he was asked about why he was sad. But if you read Nehemiah chapter 1, you learn that the brief prayer had been preceded by a lengthy time of prayer and fasting. Effective, fervent prayer requires adequate time. Time for worship, time for heart preparation, time for humble confession, and then earnest petition. So Daniel seeks God's face in worship. In verse 3, he acknowledges God as Adonai, that is, as Lord, as Master. He's sovereign over Israel and the experience of her captivity. And then in verse 4, Daniel addresses God as Jehovah, the unchanging, eternal, self-existent God, the I am that I am. He further states that God should be reverenced because he is awesome and he is holy. Not only that, he is patient, he is Lord and Master, and he is faithful to his covenant promises. Daniel contrasts God's faithfulness to his covenant with Israel and their unfaithfulness to God in that same covenant. And then Daniel models for us the next step in the prayer of the penitent. And that step is confess your sins. But we'll have to wait until next time to explore that second step in the prayer of the penitent. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio or printed copy of this teaching, just request it by its title, The Prayer of the Penitent. As I said, it's available on an audio CD or in print. And I'll tell you in just a few moments how you can get your copy. Right now, the men help us reflect on Daniel's desire to seek God's face.
One thing I ask, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in your house, O Lord, all of my days, all of my life, that I may see.
Thank you, men. Now remember, if you'd like a copy of this complete teaching, The Prayer of the Penitent, the easiest way to make your request is to send an email to hope at heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or finally, you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another option is to log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to today's teaching whenever it's convenient for you. Remember, the teaching is titled, The Prayer of the Penitent. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, just visit our page where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org. While you're there, you can learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I'll look for you next week here on the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll continue our study, The Prayer of the Penitent. And until we meet again,
hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Alleluia, Thine the glory, Alleluia, Amen. Alleluia, Thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Will you not revive us again, showing your love like before?